It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So we'll clean up or finish up the Brendan Sorsby thing with this. Ross Dellinger is a college football reporter, worked for Yahoo, I believe, now, or was it The Athletic? Maybe it's The Athletic.
Or Yahoo now. Used to be Athletic.
Okay. He is reporting that the NCAA is likely to ban Sorsby for life for this. So, not surprising. Gambling, despite its clear connections with sports on the college and NFL level. If the people who are being gambled on decide they want to gamble too, yeah, I know it's fine for everybody else, but once you do it, it calls into questions integrity of the sport. You got to go. And speaking of that, let's hear from Pat Riley, who has an ex-player deeply involved in a gambling scandal. That's Terry Rozier. This is something Pat Riley does at the end of every year. He does the State of the Union. They want to hear from him. He rarely speaks. So he's talked about a lot of things, but he got into gambling and pro sports, and here's what he had to say.
As a league, all the leagues are you get in bed with, you know, with gambling sites, and they advertise on your network. It seems like everything's okay, and it seems like to me that's a contradiction. What we're trying to do from a purity standpoint, at least from that standpoint. So I think all those things have to be sort of addressed, but as we see all of this stuff play out, we'll find out, you know, soon, you know, what's going to come of it. But I think it's the worst thing that any player, coach, official, I don't care who it is, what are you thinking of?
Yeah, that's a lot of the response when you think about what Terry Rozier had on the line. Like, even as a non-star, he was in line at least for one more, maybe $25 to $30 million deal in his future ending his current one. He probably, with what he got involved in, gave up another $90 to $120 million to gamble.
And even like the money he'd made this past year,
yeah, he doesn't
that
get
voided.
Yeah, that's another near $20 million plus dollars he gave up. And here's a report from SportsCenter talking about the latest with Terry Rozier, because he wasn't just caught up in something. Well, listen to the report.
We have a developing story on SportsCenter this morning. Attorneys for NBA player Terry Rozier plan to file a motion to dismiss his wire fraud and money laundering charges after his October arrest in a gambling sweep that saw 30 people arrested. But federal prosecutors said they have new evidence that Rozier sought and received a bribe and that they will file more charges. Also in that case, later today, former player and assistant coach Damon Jones expected to become the first NBA player to plead guilty in this case after being accused of luring players into rigged poker games and giving bettors inside injury information. He is charged in both the wire fraud and money laundering cases.
Chauncey Billups is another prominent player, now ex-coach, involved in this. A lot of Heat connections. Damon Jones and Terry Rozier, ex-Heat point guards, involved in it. So what does Pat Riley know?
Did Pat Riley protest too much?
he did say, along with what you heard that we just played, that it's stupid to do it. And I think that's correct.
Yes, I'm joking, Pat Riley.
Watch it Godfather for a reason.
I'm joking.
Yes, but it is dumb to do.
And
Terry Rozier is a player who is not a major contributor to any winning teams. The scary
he's
Terry,
like a six-man. He's type.
Yeah, at best when yeah. it comes to could this guy help a team win? As a six-man, you don't really want, a winning team likely doesn't want Terry Rozier as one of their starters. But that being said, there are a lot of losing teams in the league, and the Hornets were one of them, and he was beloved there, and they were giving him. They gave him a nice deal, and another deal, maybe from the Heat, maybe from someplace else, was coming. But he had the gambling scandal, and he fell apart, maybe in due to that, because he knew what was coming down the pike. He just tossed away upwards of $100 million, soliciting a bribe, as you heard the alleged accusation is. Or it is an accusation. We'll see if it turns out to be true. That's just crazy
yeah.
for someone who can just live off being... I don't know.
Decade-long NBA
yeah,
career.
The seventh best player on the team.
Yeah.
What are you doing? So there that is. That's the latest on that. As you hear, Damon Jones looks like he's going to plead guilty. Yeah. Let's get to Keith.
At least
here.
Damon Jones, like, you know, played 20 years
but
ago.
But he was a coach. I don't know if he was current. At the he made millions of dollars, too. I mean, it wasn't the Terry Rozier's level. He's like a step
he
below as far as NBA
yeah.
careers. But Damon Jones got a big deal at one point. Now, it's in the past. I don't know what he did with his money. But he was a guy who, if you just look at what he earned over his career, he should be fine. I don't know that that's the case. We see guys lose money and then resort to having to yeah. do things they don't want to do. But
I forgot luring people into poker
yeah.
games was part of it.
He was,
that part slipped my mind.
They used Damon Jones and allegedly Chauncey Billups as the pull to get these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Chauncey Billups is part of the game. Why not play?
And it was rigged.
And you hear that Damon Jones was allegedly, and if he's pleading guilty, I guess we don't have to say that anymore, he was passing along inside information to help bettors or the people he was beholden to as well. So there's the latest on the NBA gambling scandal with some swords be thrown in. Let's hear from Keith. He wants to talk some NFL. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Obviously, I'm a Ravens fan, and, you know, I'm coming off, you know, a year where I predicted Vanderbilt to win 10 games for the first time ever. So I've got a soft spot for, you know, the Vandy players coming out into the NFL draft. Obviously, Diego Pavia goes undrafted, but he's invited to the Ravens mini camp. So it's kind of a, you know, goes hand in hand with me. I'm excited for both parties. But then I get thrown off this morning where the Ravens ink a multi-year deal to the UConn quarterback, Joey Fagano or something like that. So, like, it's kind of confusing. Like, they've got Lamar, obviously, two-time MVP. He's not going anywhere. He's a starter. Huntley is a proven backup with a similar skill set to Lamar. And now they signed the UConn quarterback. So this mini camp, you know, it doesn't feel like Pavia's got a fair shot to even make the practice squad or the roster if they just ink the UConn QB. You know, maybe it's a showcase for other teams. Nonetheless, you know, kind of confused and happy at the same time, you know, to see Pavia Inc. I feel like he should have been drafted over some of these guys, but it's whatever. And then second question is just finished The Beast of Me. Just wanted to see if you saw the show on Netflix. I thought it was pretty good. Matthew Reese is unbelievable. Thanks.
Well, you're right in your assessment. That's the reason he's an invite and not a signee, because Pavia, not only is he below standard when it comes to NFL size, the professionalism is being called into question too. So no one's looking to give Pavia any guaranteed money, because you see even undrafted free agents, they'll get a deal where this undrafted free agent is really sought after. He'll get 200, they'll get 290K to join a team just to be part of a camp. Pavia is not of that mold, because you watch let's just say Pavia hasn't been someone who's comported himself like a guy who's desperate for an NFL job. He hasn't done the things for a guy who's undersized at that position to say, hey, we'd love to have him in the room. He has the personality of someone who believes they're 6'4", 235 pounds, and is going to get a chance no matter what because of the skill set. He's not that guy. So he gets an invite from the Ravens, and the Ravens go, hey, the UConn quarterback is 6'4", 220. That fits what we might be looking for at quarterback as a developmental prospect. I don't know why they brought in Pavia. You would think they have seen enough, but these guys, even if removed Pavia's off-the-field stuff, get shots who everyone knows has no real chance of making a roster. You just have him as an invite.
Need an arm.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy to throw football.
Yeah, to be fair to your dreams of him being on your roster because you made the prediction, as you noted again. I don't know how long you're going to keep that as part of your bona fides, Keith, but it's not even the 2026 season, so we'll allow it. If you were talking about your Vanderbilt prediction to start the college football season in 2026.
He has until July 15th.
Yes, enough.
July 15th.
I'll give him till fall camp. Whenever the first fall camp starts, that's when that ends, because the football season's right around the corner as far as the college football season is concerned. So
I was thinking of the day where teams change conferences officially.
Okay, fine. Sure.
I just don't want to listen to it all the month of July.
Understood. Either. Sure.
Probably take a vacation.
Yeah, we both will.
So you know what? Actually...
Yeah, let Raheel and AJ hear it at some point. There. So Pavia's not long for the Ravens or really any NFL camp. He doesn't fit the profile of anyone that sticks around. Particularly if they have talent deficiencies.
If you have a favorite UFL team, maybe.
Maybe you like arena football. That could be a spot for him. It feels like he could thrive there.
Yeah.
Field's shorter. Less linemen. He can throw paper planes down the field to streaking receivers. That's what he did at Vanderbilt. He was in the quarterback run game. He threw fades and got the ball to Eli Stowers from time to time.
Yeah.
So that's...
That guy
you'd want. You lost Isaiah Likely.
Second rounder to the Eagles.
Yeah, that's the guy you should have been worried about as far as a Vanderbilt backer, not Diego Pavia. Yeah, the UConn quarterback fits the profile.
Yeah, although he's... talk about paper airplanes.
But when you but do at it, least it's, at the, least he's 6'4".
It's a 6'4" starting point on 220, the
airplane. Yeah.
It goes down.
Yeah, he doesn't have to really worry about...
inches before it falls.
And apparently he doesn't have Diego Pavia's off-the-field stuff as well.
I mean, the fact that we just call him the UConn quarterback kind of proves that.
Joey...
Fagano.
Fagano. Right?
Yeah.
F-A-G-N-A-N-O. What was his other thing? That Keith wanted
Beast
to talk
and
about?
Me.
Oh, I have seen it.
Shout out to Matthew Reese.
Claire Danes in it as well. I liked it. It's fine. I mean, it's not memorable per se, but it was something that I didn't turn off and didn't feel like I needed to as it was on. It was nice. Hey, Netflix, nice job. Is pretty much what
got on base.
How I put it. Yeah, Brittany Snow's in it. She plays the wife of Matthew Reese in that one. She was also in that Netflix show where it turns out all the wives in this little Texas town are like swingers. I forgot what it was called.
Is it based off of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives?
No, I don't. The Hunting Wives is what it's called.
I mean, that sounds related.
Sure. I don't believe so, but who can say?
Gotta hear that dun-dun and find out.
Yeah, it's set in East Texas.
Oh, okay.
You know, you got high schoolers who love football. Maybe they're interested in bagging one of the wives. All those things play a part in The Hunting Wives.
It's a drama.
Yeah.
That could have been a comedy.
I mean, there are some comedic moments in it. Yeah. Maybe unintentional comedy. Sometimes that'll play a part. But I think I got through a couple episodes there. Didn't finish that one. I kind of knew where this was going. Because it's one of those shows that goes, hey, this is what happens at the very end. Let's see how we get there.
I don't like those shows.
I can't stand them. Where we know there's a big mystery and all we're going to do is work towards the end.
It's like a dressed up version of the like classic, like something crazy, freeze frame. I guess you're wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
Except that's like a show that probably has a budget of $100 million just doing that.
Sure. And I never liked that premise.
No, it's been like a... like joke trope for, I don't know, 15 years and like still like relatively prestige-y. Like, again, we're talking about The Hunting Wives, not, you know, it's not Breaking Bad, but like they still do that. It's crazy. Get out of my league. Not my league.
What happens to the game I love?
The worst thing you can do, in my opinion, and Pat Riley's opinion, other than gambling.
As soon as I see it, I was like, ooh, the writing and the acting better be good because I'm already out on this show.
Yeah.
When you've told me what's going to happen and all you're doing is working towards it, and that's how the entire show is going to go. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go. Thanks for the call, Keith. Sorry about Diego Pavia now being at least fourth string, at best, fourth string in the Ravens' quarterback room. It'd be like that sometimes.
He had a great career.
Yeah, he's a college quarterback.
Jared Curtis next up.
Yeah, maybe you have some thoughts on being Trace McSorley, who had a great college career and stayed in the league with the Ravens for a little bit. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, he is McSorley-ish.
Yeah, sorry. McSorley didn't have...
I think he played in like a COVID game, right?
He played in some games, yeah. McSorley, a little taller, a little less problematic, didn't have a couple brothers getting into fights. He was able to last a little bit and didn't have a mom who made a showcase of herself at games either.
I don't remember that happening, yes.
Yeah, I remember McSorley handing it off to Saquon.
Yeah, I remember a lot of that.
Maybe throwing the ball to Chris Godwin.
Yeah, talk about paper airplanes.
Yes.
A lot of those up the sideline.
But you can have Trace McSorley in your quarterback room as the third stringer, or maybe in some cases, if injuries hit, your starter for a week. Don't know that Pavia is suited for that role. He's suited to be a star in the CFL, honestly. That's what he's suited for. All right, we'll go to break. A couple more segments. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Astros back in action today. Got the Orioles and some news in baseball. We had Alex Cora, Astros connections there, being fired over the weekend. Well, the manager they faced off against in the 2022 World Series loses his job as well. So it's about that time. This time, it's Rob Thompson out as the Phillies manager. He's coming off they've made the postseason, I believe, every year he's been there. This is his fourth year. They made the World Series in 2022, won their division the last 2 years, but did not reach the ultimate goal. And I believe maybe the last couple of years, a couple of divisional round exits for Rob Thompson, and he's out as the Phillies manager. So despite all the success, it's actually four straight postseasons. You've got a loss in the championship series to the Arizona Diamondbacks, then two straight divisional round losses the last couple of years. So he is done at 9-19, and it makes me think because there's a certain gentleman who manages the Astros who has less success than Rob Thompson.
9-19.
And is having an awful season himself. He's not all to blame for that. He does have double-digit wins. He does have that.
Boom.
But he doesn't have making World Series and winning the division in his background.
No, that is true.
And the Phillies said, enough of you. Now, and the Astros, we haven't heard that's coming. I will say that.
Dana Brown gave him a vote of confidence.
I don't know if a guy who's also a lame duck is allowed to do that.
That was my first reaction to of like,
what does it mean if a guy who's also likely on the outs, if he gives you one? It's like an AD who's got a month left before he retires or is about to get fired, telling the head coach, hey, we believe in you. What's that matter? You ain't going to be making decisions when it matters.
We're both going out.
Thelma and
Louising this.
The Red Sox fired all their coaches on the same day.
Jason Veritek.
Does Jim Crane go, hey, I don't want to make two announcements here. It'd be easier in a press release if I get rid of both of them. And, it's easier for the social media person who puts the graphic up.
Thank you, whatever.
Thank you to both as opposed to doing it separately.
Hey, over 5 years ago now, different circumstance, a little different circumstances. They fired Luno and AJ Hinch on the same day.
Yes, there was a lot going on there, but
a little different.
Both of them went on the same day. This one would be more a matter of convenience because, what's the point of making an appearance twice?
Actually, both of you come in my office.
You know what? I would hope he would do it separately. As far as making, as far as telling them in person, I don't even know how it goes. Does he give them a call? Is he, if they're on the road, he's not, because the Red Sox got fired on the road.
Yeah, I imagine the GM, you get fired face to face. Coach, you might get a call.
Yeah, I don't know if Jim Crane calls a spot into his office and goes, "Hey, sit down, Joe."
Does Jim Crane have Dana Brown fire Joe Espada and then he fires?
Happens on the same day. That is diabolical, what Sean just suggested, that the owner of the team, just to avoid real confrontation with at least with Espada, I guess, has Dana Brown do it. Nah, I don't think it happens that way. I'm sure there is a very professional way to do it, and I don't think they leave on the same day. But just to show you, hell, we know Alex Cora, World Series champion for the Red Sox, and they said, you got to go too. So if we're talking about guys with even less job security than the two managers we just discussed, it would be Dana Brown and Joe Espada. But as it stands now, still employed, Astros in Baltimore. Unfortunately, Spencer Arrigetti can't pitch every day. So good luck to the team today against
maybe
the Orioles.
Next series. It's this time around.
Will we talk about a win?
In between.
Well, we got two against the Guardians. He didn't pitch both games.
Yeah, no, I mean, and the Orioles.
Orioles are not good, but they're better than the Astros.
Yeah.
So if we just go by what we've seen and their road record, despite the fact that they have won, I will say they won their last World Series, so maybe things are turning around. Today it'll be Kaiwei Tang, who has been strictly in a reliever role so far with the Astros. They will put him on the mound as the wheel keeps turning as they try to find starters day by day. It'll be Kaiwei Tang's turn tonight against Shane Boss. Or Boss. Boss?
Boss.
Boss. Shane Boss. The Orioles starter who has not been good. So, hey, those Astro bats got a chance today against a pitcher who has not performed well this year to put some more runs up.
Yeah. Get up to 12 wins. Three more than the now deposed
Houston's own Shane Boss.
Oh, yeah. Another Astro rumor du jour for like a week. I always remember the guys that were like mentally Houston Astros for like a week of like trade rumors.
Sure.
Michael Lorenzen always kind of like, I just keep track of them.
Dylan Cease, top of mind for me.
Dylan Cease, yeah. Where it's just every once in a while, like he's now on the Rockies, like, today's starter, Michael Lorenzen. I'm like, oh, hey.
That guy was an Astro.
Yeah, probably good that they didn't pull the trigger on that, considering now he's pitching for the Rockies.
Yeah, how prominent are baseball uniform edits? We know we get them in football and basketball. Do we get them in baseball?
You got to be a pretty big star, I think.
I would think so.
I think Juan Soto, free agency, gets
Michael Lorenzen doesn't get the jersey edit.
He is repped by Scott Boras, or was, at least. No, but he got a one-year deal
but
after.
That's usually a fan thing, right?
Yeah.
Where the fans are like, hey, love to see him.
They don't love him. They don't love him like that?
They
don't love him like he's Kobe?
Like someone said to Paul Pierce at one point, they don't love you like that. One being Draymond Green. I don't think Michael Lorenzen got the, put him in our jersey. I don't think he got the Astros jersey swap treatment.
Probably not.
I don't know.
Probably for the best.
Sleeper Astros didn't exist at the time, but if it did, I don't think they would be putting
They should.
I mean, at this point, they're going to be putting manager jersey swaps. What they're going to be up to.
Alex Cora, there are pictures. Well, I don't think he'll be out. I don't think Alex,
Alex Cora allegedly turned down the Phillies job. That's out there. I saw that.
Wait, like today, or
like he was offered that job and,
since they fired Rob Thomas,
and he said, "I want."
Or not Rob Thomas. Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas's Matchbox 20. I wish they would.
It has not been a smooth season.
Well,
for
Rob, not a smooth operator, I think is what we're looking for. I wish they would hire 90s stars, lead singers. Rob Thompson is what we're looking for.
For an interim coach or interim manager,
like if
you have 100 games left, like I want to hang out with Matchbox 20.
If Johnny Resnick wants to manage the Astros if they fire Joe Espada, I'm good. Get the Goo Goo Dolls lead singer in here. Who else? Who else is up to the task? I'm going through my Rolodex, and some of these guys are dead, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's
like Chris
an
Cornell, unfortunately.
That's an issue.
Yeah,
it'd be great though.
Yeah,
He'd be a great manager.
I don't know that he would.
A great interim manager.
Yes. He would really get the team.
Great vibes.
Yeah, I think, yeah, unfortunately, he has passed away. Dave Grohl.
I was going to say, Dave Grohl.
I know he's alive.
On the top step.
Yeah.
Handing over the lineup card.
You know how great that would be? I would watch. I mean, I watch now, but I would watch being excited if Dave Grohl was the guy who get the... And you know how excited all the other managers would be if Dave Grohl walked up and was like, hey, exchange the lineup card? That'd be great. Yeah. I don't know if they know Rob Thomas so much, but the Matchbox 20. Yeah. The Matchbox 20 lead singer.
Yeah. Some younger manager.
I'm thinking of some of the guys. Who else? Who else could do this? If Jim Crane was like, you know what? This has been a tough year. And look, Dave's got a tour in July, so he can only do June. Who do we get for July?
Eddie Vedder. Come on down.
Would Eddie be fun, though?
Kind of a bummer.
Hey, Eddie, come on.
I mean, based off the music. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure he cuts Lee. He likes baseball. I've seen him at baseball games.
Well, that's enough, I guess. There's a baseball connection.
Baseball cap.
It's true. Scott Weiland. Nope, he's passed away. I'm just going through the list of guys. All the guys I'm thinking of have passed away. These guys who were big in the 90s.
Yeah. I have some news for you about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Don't think that's why I got to Dave Grohl pretty quickly. I did think about Cobain. Like, wait, nope. Let's go to someone adjacent. Dave. Dave's still with us. Yeah, well. Unfortunately, there was a spade of guys.
Could Flea in there.
He's not really
on the top step.
He's not really a lead singer.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
And we got to keep. He doesn't even like wearing clothes, let alone a uniform.
Yeah, let's get Kiedis out there.
Anthony, yeah, let's get Anthony in. Yeah. And if we'd like drummers, we can just get Will Ferrell because he looks like the drummer from.
Oh yeah,
from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah. All right, so if it comes down to it, and the unfortunate happens, we've got a plan for Jim Crane.
We have a list.
That's how serious this Astros season has gone. We're now contemplating 90s lead singers from grunge and rock bands and trying to decipher which ones are dead or alive. I'm having trouble.
Yeah, you know, there's some Googling that needs to be done.
I know Johnny Resnick is alive. That's why I went with him first. All right, let's get to Lance's Donut Crumb. That's a callback from the past. What's up, Lance's Donut Crumb?
Hey, guys. Missed you, Dill. I wanted to offer an invitation to... I know he's feeling a little verklempt about his Vanderbilt players that weren't drafted. I just wanted him to come over and I'll give him a My Doll and a banana filled crate. Doodles.
Mm. So for people who aren't old school, that has some remnants of a caller who went by Reggie, who spoke in that tone and offered things to men who called into the show who likely wouldn't like the offer in question. I don't know that Keith's looking for that from you, Lance's Donut Crumb, but I appreciate that. Toodles was a nice touch at the very end, too. We got a tweet about this dumb topic we're on. LSU Lala says David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth. Is he still with us?
I believe so.
Okay. Hey, I just...
Gavin Rossdale. I know he's alive.
We got to make sure.
Yeah. David Lee Roth's sure. Alive.
Okay.
71 years old.
Doing great.
I know the lead singer of Bush, Gavin Rossdale, he could be in on this too. He's not American, so maybe people will push back against that. I don't know how.
Yeah, no, I don't think that goes over well in the clubhouse.
Is he Irish? Do you want an Irish manager? He may be English, actually.
These are baseball topics from 100 years ago. Would they listen to an Irish manager?
Well, he's English, so maybe from London, so who knows how they would feel about that. But either way, we got a plan just in case we need it. Unless we just keep winning baseball games like we did on Sunday and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Just, hey, go win every series, 2-1, boom. All you have to do is be one game over .500.
That's how you get back in the race. Games. Start winning series.
Yeah. You have a 600 winning percent.
Our solution for the Astros is to win more baseball games.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Or else, you know, we're gonna need some.
In a dark thought, I almost want to see how many games they'd have to lose to keep Yordan from winning the MVP, considering how good he's been. Like, we had the discussion, but he is leading so many categories. Like, Like, if could a 55-win team keep him from winning the MVP? Would we spark that debate of, well, he's the best hitter in baseball, mm-hmm. but is he really the most valuable?
Depends how much James Hetfield is
pulling the strings with the bullpen. Yeah.
How much he's in the post game?
How do we not mention Metallica? who's the lead singer, Seether? Who's that guy? Does he want to? I know he's been here for like the Buzzes concert that they do. I heard those commercials when I was in college. So I don't know. We'll go to break with Fat. If you can think of any other lead singers who could manage the Astros from that 90s, 2000s era of rock music, we
Sean
welcome.
Sean Morgan, come on down.
Well, there it is.
South African rock band, by the way.
It's not what we're looking for. Much like the U.S. national team, who don't hire Americans as often as the people would like. We're looking for an American in this role. I'm tired of non-Americans taking our roles in acting, and also when it comes to lead singers. I don't care about if it's actually a baseball guy. He doesn't have to be an American.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that nuts. But if it's a lead singer, he's got to be an American.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line.
Because they all sing like they're American, too. They take our sound.
That is the thing. Once they start singing, they sound like Americans. And then when the mic's off and they're just talking, hey, you fooled me. All right, we'll go to break with that. One more segment to go. We'll be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
So as we continue, we had a tweet about Dave Grohl as a potential. If he ever became the manager of the Astros in a stunt that Jim Crane tried to pull off to get people to care about the team again, if he happens to fire Joe Espada. The name Throbin Williams chimes in, which is great too. Grohl is known for getting the best out of his players. If you know, you know. So I appreciate the responses. Getting to more serious matters, Dream Shake, in talking about what's going on in the Pistons Magic series, says, or at least asks the question, do you think the Magic match up well with the Pistons? Because in that series, nobody on both teams is playing well. I think for a Pistons team who has had trouble shooting, them not being able to out-physical the Magic, because the Magic are just big across the board. I mean, Desmond Bane's not tall, but he's a physical player, and Jalen Suggs is a really good point of attack defender. Then you start to think about Franz, big. Paolo, giant dude. You've got Wendell Carter, another big guy. They just got a bunch of big, strong guys who, if you want to get into a non-shooting match against, I know basketball's about making shots, but if you want to play a game where making shots is at a premium, the Magic can play that game with you because they're not going to make shots and you're not going to be able to be bigger and stronger than them. Despite, like, Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stew, known as an enforcer, he's not bigger than Paolo. He's not bigger than Wendell Carter. I mean, no. Jalen Duren matches with them physically. He's just having an awful series. And you throw in Cade Cunningham's turnovers, that's why they're down 3-1.
Yeah, and it's all on Cade. You know, there is no, like, you can just get the Desmond Bane. He had one game where he was like, you know, 6 for 9 from mm-hmm. three. And it's just like, oh, yeah, you're just, that's just like found money in a way where it doesn't have to be every game for Bane, but it just, every once in a while he can go off where you look at the Pistons and they just don't have that kind of, you know, that version is Caris LeVert. You know, it is so Cade dependent on not just him scoring, but getting other guys open looks. And like you said, with Jalen Duren playing the way he can't, or weighing the way he is this series, like, you're not collapsing the defense. You're not making it any easier. So yeah, it is just like just unwatchably bad offense on both sides, because even the Magic are going well. This is why they're an 8 seed with all this talent. That's a tough watch on offense. Even if we sit here and go, in a weird way, they have more offensive firepower than the Pistons, but the firepower is inefficient when it comes to Paolo, when it comes to Franz. And Franz is banged up. We'll see if he even plays the rest of the series. But Yeah, it is something where the Pistons, another team, stayed pat at the deadline, and you see where they could really have used some sort of piece on offense around Cade.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs goes 1 of 13, 1 of 11 for 3.
Full Ariza.
Plays 35 minutes, plus 17 for the night.
That Ariza didn't do that in Game 7.
No, plus 17 after going 1 of 13 from the floor. That's the type of game that was on display last night, where he could be so impactful and also be such a detriment on the offensive end of the floor.
13 shots.
Hey,
you're one.
It's the Deion Waiters approach. I'd rather go 0 for 14 because it means I didn't stop shooting. And when the Pistons are running offense out of timeouts to stop a run, and it's, hey, let's get Duncan Robinson an open three, I get it, but that's very, very hit or miss, particularly for Duncan Robinson in the playoffs, and they got a miss type of night for him when he goes 1 for 6. He's unplayable at that point because he's not making shots. He's just going to get attacked by bigger, more physical offensive players. He's not going to be able to hold up. So 94-88 the final. The Pistons didn't break 20 points in the third or fourth quarter. And the Magic did, but that was 21 in the third. So that was the type of game if you decided to sit down and watch it. Watching Tobias Harris go to work, I was like, this is like 1996 basketball.
Someone had a tweet where it's like, there's something going on with this box score. I just watched Tobias Harris play like an awful game. And I looked it up. He had an efficient 20 points.
Yeah, it was 20 points on 8 of 17.
Like, and it
didn't make. He missed all his threes. That was a problem.
That's probably what it was. But it is just like how are they? You look at the box score, like, how does this even add up to 94-88 or whatever it was? Like,
they both got to the free throw line quite a bit. All the fouls.
Yeah.
The Pistons committed 29 fouls.
Only way either team could score.
The Magic committed 25.
Yeah, Paolo was like 4 of 18.
So if you're looking for a desperate rock fight, that is the series, and the Pistons will be very desperate tomorrow. So if you want that, that's on Prime for you as the Pistons try to avoid elimination at the hands of the 8-seed Magic. It'll be, the second time in, three playoff seasons in the East if it happens. The Heat did it back in 2023. Another Florida-based team trying to do it to another Midwest team. Heat did it to the Bucks. Orlando trying to do it to Detroit. They both won Game 5s. After winning both games at home. So it could happen again. In fact, the setups are the exact same. Both teams won game one. They lose game two in blowout fashion. And then they win games 3 and 4 and then take game 5. So we'll see if the Magic can do it like the Heat did it. All right, we're done for the day, Sean. Since we're done, what does that mean?
For me, I just feel like they're really equal.
You mentioned Team USA Soccer.
I did, and we have months to go before that gets used quite a bit, particularly if they are struggling in the group stage.
I just realized I'm going to be rooting against them.
I'm not, but that sounder could get played quite a bit. All right, Rich Eisen up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Sterling Country Club as part of the Occasional Invitational. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.